strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, "How's my child?" I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him,
I think I'll color him love.
Color him, love.
Then I'm gonna color him father.
Color him, father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him, father.
He says education is the thing if you want to compete, because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why, except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father.
Color him,
I'm gonna color him love. Our real old man, he got killed in the war, and she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She says she thought that she could never love again, and then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in, and now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father.
Color him, father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color him, love.
I've got to color him father.
Color him, father.
I believe I'll color this man love.
Color him, love.
He's just been so good to me.
Color him, father.
I know I've got to color him love.
Color him,
love. I'm gonna color him father.
Color him, father.
I've got to color this man love.
Hello, hello, hello. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backwards thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world. And I am happy. I'm glad you chose to tune in to bring back the family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay? All right. So, first we want to acknowledge God's word with the scripture. And then after that, we're going to go and go get right to it. Okay? So, we're going to read scripture from Proverbs 17:6. Children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Okay. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Come, Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Okay? These are proverbs and scriptures for fathers. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. This is the day that we celebrate you, and and that's what we're going to do today. Okay. So let us pray. Father's Prayer for Father's Day. Father, we come before you today, humble and in awe of your grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for the way you have designed what a family is supposed to look like and the specific roles you have ordained to a mother and a father of how to lead their children. Yet, Lord, though our sinful ways, we have taken what you have made holy and created our own version of today's family. Because of this, our children are suffering. It is for the fathers, families, and children of our nation that we do pray today. Lord, we pray specifically for fathers and fatherhood across the land. Your word clearly instructs fathers to bring up their children in the discipline and instructions of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. God, we thank you for the men who are leading according to your statutes and the ones that are laying their lives down for your purposes. We pray that you will continue to use these men to lead their families and other men. We pray you will strengthen the fathers of our nation and that you will continue to empower churches, organizations, and individuals to invest in fathers and fatherhood for the sake of our children. We pray for the single fathers out there, whether they are raising their children alone or even if they are doing the best they can with the time they have. We pray for strength, protection, wisdom, and discernment to help them through whatever trials they may be facing. Thank you, Lord, for these men, and please guide their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Help meet all of our needs, all of their needs, that they may experience your peace that suppresses all comprehension. We pray for the dads out there who are being alienated from their children right now. We pray, oh Lord, that you will shield and shelter them from the pain and possible the anger that may be rising up in them. Four, you strike down the barriers that are hindering these dads from seeing their children. God, do not let this destroy them as men, fathers, or in the relationship with you. They need you in a mighty way. And we pray you would show yourself strong on behalf of anyone that is being alienated from their children and that you would reunite these families together. Lord, we lift up the dads right now that are not stepping up to the plate as fathers. For whatever reason, once again, we have allowed the evil one to get into their lives and wreak havoc on what you have said is good. We pray for these men to come to their knees and repent that they would turn from their ways, seek you, and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for their children and the moms who are parenting along because of these men's decisions. We pray you would step in as a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows in these situations, that their story would be another testimony that nothing is too hard for you. Finally, Father, we lift up the men that are on the front lines in the battle for fatherhood and the war against fatherlessness. God, you clearly put leaders of all calibers in positions of influence, from the highest ranks to the least of these. However, we know that with men, these initiatives would fall short. But with you, all things are possible. We pray for everything from the right funding for the programs to continue to godly leadership from beginning to end. We pray for a revival of manhood and for fathers to lead their families by beginning each day on their knees. God, your word says that you will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Malachi 4:6. As our Creator, Savior, and Heavenly Father, we believe that this will bear eternal fruit, that generational curses will become generational blessings, restoring our families back to the way that you intended. We come into agreement as we read and speak this prayer out loud, that this is a nation that is best only for our earthly fathers to rise up to the challenge, but more importantly, that they need to follow you, Father, as their ultimate guide and example. It is in this wonderful, precious, and matchless name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. May the Lord add a blessing. Yes, it's Father's Day, and it's Juneteenth, and this is the 1 year anniversary of Bring Back the Family. This is the day that I started last year, 1 year ago, started Bring Back the Family. And it's been a whole year. just kind of steadfast on the journey. And it's been good. And I feel that, you know, this show has grown. I just want to, you know, take a minute to thank everybody for tuning in, and, you know, just being with me on this journey. Because, I mean, we have a lot, we got a lot of work to do, you know, in bringing back the family and the process that we want to take to, you know, bring the family back. Like I say, my brother was telling me it should be called Bring the Fathers Back. And so, but fathers do represent the family, and that is family. That's the whole thing. Fathers are part of the family. So that's why it's called Bring Back the Family. Okay? I went to a gathering today, a function today that celebrated Juneteenth. And I kind of stayed longer than I should have, so I'm still here, and I'm broadcasting my show from where I was having the affair. And it was a very, very good, it was really good. It just talked a lot about what Juneteenth was about. And they recognize the fathers and they recognize the men, and they just talked about love and how we should be sharing love with one another, and that we should be helping one another. And when we leave this venue, then we should have a vision and something that we're going to go back to our community and take back to our community to start. Just like, you know, what we want to do with Bring Back the Family, block by block, doing something on your block to help the next generation to have what they need to make it, okay? So that was what I was involved in today. Pastor Earl, hopefully he'll come on later on and talk about more about Juneteenth and what that represents and what it means for us going forward, okay? And what it means going forward. So, yeah, this is Father's Day. This is one of the days that I love to celebrate, Father's Day, Mother's Day, but it's Father's Day. I lost my dad. It's been 2 years ago, and he left us, you know, with a lot of great memories, a lot of great memories that we will be able to remember and use just everything that he gave us, everything, you know, his loving and caring ways, his personality. He had a personality that was just out of this world. Loved everybody, loved his children, loved his family. You know, it's hard to forget something like that, that you, when they've given you so much. So before I forget, you know, Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth educationally, professionally, and spiritually, in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that they can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around this beautiful world, okay? But continue to say we have to show them. We have to show them what to do, and we have to give them all the tools that they need in order for them to be able to make it, okay? And they talked about that today at this program that I was at. They're focusing on the kids. I was able to network a lot and about my show and, you know, just meet a whole lot of good people. So today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I hope that, you know, you're getting the respect and the love and the good meals that the things that you like. And today we just want to shout out and recognize our fathers. Recognize them. You want to have a word to say. You want to tell a story. You want to, you know, just talk about your dad in whatever way that you, you know, feel that you should, you want to talk about them, because they are important. They are very, they are very, very important. So, and we need to recognize that. We need to recognize how important fathers are. And that we really do need them in our life. We need them. We need the men. We need our men. And we need our fathers. We do. And we don't always, well, I was sitting at a table with a couple that was married for 53 years. And then another couple, they were married for 2 years. And so I asked them, I said, okay, well, give us a little nugget about, you know, about marriage and what can you leave with us, give us, you know, pointers. And he said, well, how much time do you have? And, you know, everybody just kind of laughed at that. But he did say that one word, tolerance, you know. So I really wanted to ask him a whole lot more questions, but our little program was about to start again. But it was a very, very nice affair, and it gave me a lot of good ideas to use for our upcoming event that we're going to have that's going to help our kids with different programs and bring the information about Bring Back the Family. It's going to be our year kickoff, and we're planning on having a great big celebration, and we're going to have vendors and programs for the kids and just a lot of resources that's going to help them to be able to get what they need, you know, because that's our goal, to give our youth what they need to make it, okay? So, yeah, so this is Father's Day, and so I'm going to open your mics, and we're not going to be on long today because I am out and about, and, you know, might be a little noisy at times, but I am out and about. I don't get out much, and I was invited, and so I'm tired of telling people no because I have to do my show, you know, and so I have to get some kind of enjoyment. So it's been good, and wherever I am, I can do this, and I didn't want to miss my show today because Father's Day is special to me. Like I said, lost my dad 2 years ago, and he is well, well missed in the Clyburn family. he was truly a jewel, and what I love most about him is, like I said, his personality and just his love for everyone, and the fact that he kept me safe, and that's important to me, and I think that's important to every kid, you know, to be safe. You know, to be safe in their home, be safe wherever they're going, just to feel safe and to feel confident. And so that's what I felt, you know, that was important to me as far as my dad, keeping us safe, keeping me safe, keeping my siblings safe, keeping our household safe, keeping my mom safe. And he was our king. He really was. And there's just so much I could say about him. You know, we truly miss him. And, you know, we just have to go on. And he gave us what it was that we needed to make it in order to make it in this world, you know. One thing about, I said, you know, I've been watching Gunsmoke lately. And so Gunsmoke, I've been watching, I know my dad used to watch. And I said to myself, boy, that must be where dad got his some of his ways from watching Gunsmoke. Because one thing he do is get all the facts. And he's just as cool and calm when he asks you questions. He just asks a question. He don't accuse you of anything. He just asks you a question, and he expects an answer. And, I enjoy watching it now. And, you know, I was like, wow, that's how, you know, his ways were sort of like that, whereas when he asks you something, all he wants is the facts. That's it. And he's not going to accuse you of anything until he gets all the facts, all of them. So one thing, he didn't allow us to lie to him about nothing. He going to look at you with them deep brown eyes. He going to look at you, and he already know just about who did what. And he'll look at you and stare at you, have us all lined up, and he'll look at you and stare at you. And you couldn't lie. You just go ahead and tell the truth, because he just about knew who had did what. And so, those are some times that I remember. And he was a family man, just family. He had 9 brothers and sisters, and they all got together. They all got together, and we'd do family outings and go to the park, and we'd trail each other over in Canada, and we all would stay there all day long. And that was just like a ritual that him and all his brothers would do, and to keep the family together. So all of our cousins, we were all raised, you know, like brothers and sisters. Those are just some of the things about my dad. I know my sister's going to come on and have her say, so I'm not going to say everything. So if you want to just say something about somebody special in your life, the man in your life, your husband, your father, your brother, and I can't forget my brothers. I just want to say happy Father's Day to them, William, Kenny, Mark, and Plunkin, Jeffrey. We've all had those nicknames, and some of those names you never even call them by their real name because you use their nicknames so much. So happy Father's Day to all my brothers, all my nephews, because they truly, truly are fathers to their children. It's just amazing, you know, that how my dad, you know, my dad and all my uncles, you know, took care of their families, and everybody just watched them. They watched them. And they are my brothers and my nephews and them. They're all like amazing dads. It's just a blessing, because you want to know that your kids are going to be okay. And I'm glad that they're taking care of their children, you know. They're manning up and standing up and being fathers that, you know, that's pleasing to God, and that they're taking care of their children. I'm just glad of that, because it gives you more work to do if they're not. So everybody's taking care of their own children, and that's great. Yeah, so anybody wants to say something about their men in their life, their fathers, and you can press 1. You could come on and just have a word to say. I know somebody out there going to come on and say something. So press 1, and I will open up your mic. Mm-hmm. You got a dad that you want to recognize and say some good loving things about him, then you're welcome. So just press 1 and I'll open up your mic. Okay? Thank you. All right. Here we go. Hello. Let me see.
Hello. Hey there.
How are you doing? Well, you know, I can't let you think you are out here all alone because you never are.
Oh, never, never, never. Thank you, sister.
You just had me laughing. It's like I figured I'd open up the conversation so that people get a sense of how we kind of go when it's just the two of us. So you said, you brought up the example about Gunsmoke and about how your father would interrogate you and how you couldn't lie. And then I started laughing because I said, couldn't lie? Because my dad, well, you know, my mom died when I was just four. And so my dad, you know, pretty much was, like, in charge. It was just him. And I think I've even shared before how I got busted when I was doing some graffiti on school. And I was trying to write a bad word. And then I felt like somebody was behind me, and I turned around. And I was like, oh, shoot. I was more concerned about the word I was writing than the fact that I was writing on the wall. And so I tried to come up with some words that would finish out P-U. See, I didn't really, I never can went that far with my confession before. And I quit.
Oh,
I was like,
goodness.
And he was, and so when you said that you can't lie, trust me when I tell you, yeah, you can lie, but the thing was that they knew you were lying. And so
they did.
That's what I have to say. So you were like 100% correct about that, and you were 100% correct. You know, today when we were listening to DeAndre, who did an awesome job in his preaching on Father's Day, and he was talking about, you know, like how fathers are not perfect, but I think what one of the big takeaways for me was what he said about their intent, what was in their heart, how they would like want to kill a brick for their child. And I know I felt that. You're always talking about how Cat Daddy, that's my nickname, y'all, for Mr. Clyburn. I always call Cat Daddy, and then they scored the Cat
Daddy.
Daddy. Yeah, and they just wanted to protect us. It's just part
of
who they are, and they all may have different ways, and I think my father was kind of on the hard side a lot of times, but at the end of the day, I know his heart was in the right place. I know it was all designed to work to my good, that he didn't have ill intentions toward me. He had good intentions, and so I guess that at the end of the day, you know, you can't break the kids if you're really just trying to protect them and do right by them, right?
That's right.
We don't
right.
come with
yeah.
instructions, do we?
Yeah. I don't know where he got his instructions from, because he did a great job. That man, I need to write a book.
Yeah.
He had all the qualities. He was so funny. He had the sense of humor. He would say one or two words, and he would just make a whole point with one or two words,
yeah.
you know. And then he'll crack on
like
you.
That when I met him.
Huh?
I said he was still like that because, you know, I came to the party late. Cat Daddy must have been like in his 80s when you and I became friends. And what you just described, I even got a chance to see, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing I like, how his eyes would light up. Like you could almost know what he was going to say. Based on that, you know, his smile. My dad was like that too. His smile would come to his eyes before it made its way to his mouth.
Wow.
And you know, when you love somebody, those little things, they're so endearing. You know, when you think about when you're little, you don't really like, you know too much. But then when you get older and you kind of look back, and I used to be like, my daddy. People used to look at me like, well, she shut up. Because I felt kind of rose upset with my dad. But when I got older and knew better, of course, you know, there we go.
Well,
yeah,
you know, I didn't care. I talked about my dad 24/7 all the time. And people knew him all over the world, because I think we all just talked about him all the time. And he was something to talk about, I tell you. For real.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I guess that's the
yes,
legacy. You know, if there's a legacy for the dads out there, the mark to shoot, you know, they always talk about this little thing. They say, you know, are people going to remember, you know, when you're gone or when you get sick? Are they going to remember, you know, how smart you were or what you were?
Mm-hmm.
But really what they're going to remember are the kinds of things we're talking about now, those relational
mm-hmm.
things, how much, you know, how much they cared about you and the life that you shared. So that's the thing that they need to really get their hands on, is just really be there, be present in your kid's life. And if you are,
mm-hmm.
they're going to notice that, and it's going to make all the difference in their life. And they're going to remember it when they get older.
They are. Kids remember. We remember everything. And how could a dad not want to be there with their little child and, you know, just see them grow? And I remember my dad worked for the city in Detroit, in the sanitation department. And when he would go on his runs and stuff, a lady would ask him, you know, how they ask questions, how many kids you got and all this, you know. So he told me I had whatever amount he had at that time. And they would give him clothes and all kind of, you know, things for us.
Mm-hmm.
And mine would wash the clothes, and it would look just like fresh new clothes. And he said, well, how many girls did he have? And he told her, I got five girls or six girls at the time, whatever amount he had. And she said, woo-wee, you're going to have a lot of help, you know. And he said he just could not see it at that time because, you know, we was all very little, you know, at the time. And he said he just couldn't see it. But he did live to see, and just exactly what that lady was talking about. Yeah, because, you know, them girls take care of their daddies. Yes.
Yes, y'all did. I see it with my own two eyes.
Yeah. They take care of their daddies. I'm telling you.
You know, you were always sort of like, you and a few other friends I have were like a model, because not having a mom and not having like that, you know, nuclear family, there are
mm-hmm.
some like missing or blind spots. And I used to always marvel when I would see that, like, what I call Ozzie and Harriet type family, you know, those black and white pictures that we used to see on TV. And
mm-hmm.
you were just like, wow, look at that. That really happened.
Man, this world would be so much better if, you know, every kid could just have, you know, a family or just a dad and their mom to just get together, you know, get together and just focus on them to get what they need. So that they can, they could go on. You know, what did DeAndre say about the kids being 18? You can't just, you know, throw them out, you know, when they get 18. You're going to always be a dad. You're going to always.
That's a good point. Yeah. That was another good point that he raised, because I know a lot of parents, they're like, look, I can't wait to get rid of them. And then you get the kids saying the same thing. But if you really got that relationship, it's going to
mm-hmm.
naturally happen. They're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, our culture is really one of the few cultures that, you know, there are many cultures out there that have what I consider more of a healthy idea towards marriage. And, you know, when you go out with your own family and making sure that you got that dowry or you got a little hunk of change so that you're, you know, you got something to kind of start with. And,
mm-hmm.
and they're willing to sacrifice. You'll see multiple generations of people under one roof so that, you know, everybody can go to college and, you know, and they sacrifice and they start businesses. And so, but again, to me, that all starts with I'm willing to make a commitment and make a sacrifice for this family so that everyone has a chance. And I don't know that we're there. Probably a lot of this had to do with, you know, how we were separated during slavery. And then when we started to integrate into society and different things that we saw. But you can always change the mold at any time we want to. We can change. But sadly, there are just a lot of social problems, I think, that plague the black family. And there are a lot of unhealthy viewpoints that we have adopted, and that's not everyone, but some
mm-hmm.
of the problems that we have just it all comes back to God. If we get into the Bible and we embrace what he's taught us, if we look at the role model of God and we look at the role model of Jesus, we can't go wrong because we're going to love and
can't
we're
go wrong.
Sacrifice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't go wrong. You know, most kids not even ready at 18. If you want them out, you saying you're gonna, they got to get out at 18. You can't wait till 18. You better make sure you done prepared them.
Yeah.
Because if they go, they're gonna come back if they're not ready, or they're gonna mm-hmm. run into all kind of problems and issues out there that you didn't prepare them for. So you got to make sure they're prepared.
Mm-hmm. It's like you know, we like how you and I talk. It's what we find are these extremes either. They haven't been prepared at all, and they've been left to their own device, and the street is basically raising them, or we're so
mm-hmm.
scared about the street that we shelter
wow.
them, and they don't
mm.
even really know what to do, so we have to keep them because we're like, oh, well, they're not ready. They can't handle it, or they even are afraid to go out there because we
mm-hmm.
told them, well, you know, it's terrible out there. Don't go out there. And we really do need to strike the right balance so that, you know, when they are ready, they're equipped to be able to get out there.
Right, right. And one way is to, you know, make sure that they ground it, you know, in the Word. Yeah. So
definitely.
They can have that protection. They can have that guidance that they need to go out there. Because they will be, you know, protected. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Getting that car, you pray. Mhm. Yeah.
I was terrified for one of my grandchildren. You know, I don't actually have kids,
mm-hmm.
but Ray has kids. But his granddaughter, in fact, she came to visit him yesterday and brought him over a Father's Day card. She was visiting from New York. So she is
mm-hmm.
very quiet, led a relatively sheltered life, you know, not a party girl, not really, like, even out there. So I'm like, she's going where? She's going to New York. I'm like, she can't go to New York. Is New York all by herself? Well, she's been in New York all by herself, living in her apartment,
mm.
working her job. And she's thriving and she's doing well. But I was over here just kind of like, how is she making this? Like, okay, I got a doorman.
Mm.
And still, but she gets on the train and she's not, like, fearful. And then I just say to myself, okay, I've been praying, but I have to say that I just kind of marvel because I did feel like she might have been a little bit too sheltered to go out there on her own without peril, but she's doing fine. So sometimes it's us. We want to tie them to our apron strings, and we want to believe that they're not capable of doing what they can do. They can soar.
Yes, they can. We make them scared. If we make them scared, then they'll be scared. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
they,
listen, you
we show them that they're scared.
You got somebody else. Somebody else probably didn't hit one by now, so I'm going to stop talking. So you can get somebody else on here.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks so much.
And
just thanks for sharing my dad's life with yours. Yeah, he enjoyed you. He called you FBI.
I know, that was so funny. And thank you, and I know Pastor Owen, hopefully he's listening. Thank you for being our spiritual father at the church, and you do a good job. You're like our big brother, daddy,
that's
friend,
right,
all
that's
over the
right.
world, and we appreciate you. All right, June out.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, June. That's my bud. That's my bud. Yes, sir. You talk about a friend. That's a friend. I tell you. Through thick and thin. It's always good to have a friend. Mm-hmm. Yep, Pastor O, he is our buddy, our friend, our, like she said, our spiritual leader. And he, it's like he knows everything. You ask him a question, he just knows everything about everything. So if you want to know something, just hit up Pastor O. Yep. Okay, so come on. Even if your dad is not with you anymore, let's talk about him. Tell us what he gave you that helped you in your journey, you know, to life. I tell my nephews and my nephews and them, I say, y'all, when you start having problems and issues and stuff, just think about how dad did his, what he did, how he went to church and how he prayed and how he was committed to his family. Now, if you try to follow in his footsteps, then you won't have all those issues and problems that you have. So, you know, Yeah. You want to be able to rest well when the day is done. You want to be able to rest well after you have been a good and faithful servant. Then you walk in the right shoes, you know. All right. So come on, someone. Let me see what job it is. Okay. So hey, let's Pastor O, when you want to hit one, when you're ready, we're going to talk about Juneteenth a little bit, and then we'll come back and you want to talk about your dad, give him some shout-outs. You know, dads are important. You know, I don't know how to talk, but dads are really, really important. And I wish every kid in the world had a dad like mine, Willie T. Clyburn, the Hat Man. They called him Hat. So, yeah, I want everybody, every young kid in the world to have a dad like mine. Because he was a true father. Yes, sir. I pray, Pastor O, awesome O, Big Daddy. Hello.
Hey, how you doing this afternoon?
Just wonderful. I'm out here at the Doubletree Hotel doing my broadcast.
All right, then.
Like, I didn't know how this was. I was like, oh, this is not good. I'm like, okay.
Taking it on the road.
Yeah, 428, it was saying like 2 minutes. I'm like, oh, and I got all everything all discombobulated. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to get done today.
That's
but
what
hey,
I used to do.
The Lord is having his way.
That's what I used to do when we were up in Mackinac, and I did the show from Mackinac. It was the same way, especially when you're dealing with Wi-Fi that goes in and out. That really makes it interesting.
Mm.
Or you're walking around on the island and, you know, and the background noises and all of that. But, hey, I even did one at the drag strip. So,
oh, boy.
You know I had
well,
to be
I
really
don't
loose.
Feel so bad.
Because you're talking about background noise. That was then. I'm sitting inside with the windows rolled up and it's hot, and I'm like, "This is ridiculous." But we got it done. We got it done.
Getting it done. Well, God, He wanted this to go forth today, because I tell you, and I hated to leave because they were just about to have the keynote speaker, and the food was good, and it was just really a nice, nice program with Juneteenth. So they celebrating, and I wrote some notes, and maybe next week I'll talk about it, but I know that you got some good stuff to talk about today. Yes,
sir. Yeah, Juneteenth is a really interesting holiday. Most folks never heard of it until recent years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of us, if we think back maybe 3 years ago, we never celebrated Juneteenth. Right now, we'd be headed for July 4th, Independence Day. But that's the Independence Day of this country. But Juneteenth is a day, it's kind of a mystery. It's funny how it happened. We all know Abraham Lincoln, so this is history, but I'm going to do my best to make it short because it's American history or Civil War history. Anyway, there were 11 states in the South that did not want to become a part of Abraham Lincoln's Union, his United States, or they didn't want to be a part of it. And so they became what we know today as the Confederacy. And so the Union fought against the Confederacy in a civil war. I think it started around 1861, 62, somewhere around there. 1860, it got going. And they were, you know, if you looked at one instance in the war, it looked like the Confederates were going to win. And in another instance, the Union, they were making advances. And so it kind of went back and forth. And both leaders were trying to come up with a way to conquer the other. So Abraham Lincoln came up with an idea that we call today the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, you hear a lot of folks say that Abraham Lincoln didn't really free the slaves. And the reason they say that is because he never really wanted to. That was not his goal. The Emancipation Proclamation was not his goal to free slaves. But what it was what we're doing to Russia now with sanctions to get them to behave. What he wanted to do was destabilize those Confederate states. They used slaves for everything, okay? And so if you free the slaves, then you can completely destroy their economy. They cannot fund their war effort. And then you have these folks who know now that they're free and they're leaving, so your farms are falling apart because everything was agrarian, and that's where your money came from. So it was a tool that Abraham Lincoln used to destabilize the states, right? But so in 1863, that's when most folks say we got our freedom, but we didn't. For 2 years after that, we had to fight. And the reason we had to fight is you had to go to all those 11 states to force them, if you will, to enforce this new Emancipation Proclamation and free those slaves. Now, it wouldn't be until some black soldiers actually marched into Texas and let them know that they were free. And this is 2 years later, okay? And that is why we celebrate Juneteenth. Even then, if you really understand the Emancipation Proclamation, only freed the slaves in the South. It did nothing for those. Now, the North was more, it was more free and more liberal and open, but still you were a slave or could be captured and taken back into the South. But what happened was December 8th, 1865, the 13th Amendment. And then that freed slaves all over America, okay? But we really didn't celebrate this holiday. I really don't know how it became widely known and widely celebrated like it is today, today being the second year that it's actually been, I think President Biden signed it into law, made it a national holiday. And this is our second year celebrating it. So there's a whole lot more behind it. I mean, you know, thank God for Frederick Douglass getting into the ear of Abraham Lincoln and letting him know that you're a little too to destabilize the South. If you don't free slaves all over the country, then you'll destabilize the country. And so that's how we literally got our freedom. There was a lot of behind-the-scenes work, a lot of lobbying being done by black politicians into the ears of the president. And the one in particular was Frederick Douglass. Okay, he was really pressing for that. So Juneteenth, and that is why we celebrate it, because it would be in Texas where the soldiers came to that final holdout and let them know not a reason they didn't immediately receive their freedom is you declared an Emancipation Proclamation, but you can forget trying to get those 11 Southern states, the Confederacy, to enforce it. So they literally had to go to those places and make sure that it was being enforced. And so for 2 years, Texas, even though they knew the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed into law by Abraham Lincoln, they still didn't free the slaves until the Union soldiers showed up, and then the slaves got their freedom. And so for us, this is our Independence Day as far as black folks are concerned. This is our Independence Day. This is when we, all across America, benefit from the Emancipation Proclamation, but ultimately it would be the 13th Amendment that really gave us our freedom. Of course, we know after that, Black Wall Street got burnt down, Reconstruction fell, sharecropping a joke. It wouldn't be until now. We had our freedom in 1865, December 8th, 1865. We got our civil rights in 1964. That's almost 100 years. Before that we actually work got a modicum of better treatment. You know, of course, in 1955, after the war, well, the 1950s, really, after 1944, when the war, I believe the Second World War ended, and all of those men who had gone away come back home, there was a great boom in America. And it was part of that boom that led to us, led to Martin Luther King's, Rosa Parks, and all of those who fought the fight to get us our civil rights. But, yeah, today we celebrate, and, yes, whether we knew about it or not, and most folks didn't, when you ask people, when did black people get their freedom? They say 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation. But they really don't understand that that was just a tool Lincoln used to destabilize his enemy. Okay, he had no intention at all. That was not his goal. And he was not, you know, he didn't try to fake like he, you know, and claim credit. He literally was just trying to destabilize the South. But like I said, thank God for Frederick Douglass, who kind of helped him to find his way to the right place. And that gave us our freedom. And so now we have this celebration. And we should remember, because once again, it's how God brought us out. And it's amazing how you can be set free, but not free. Or you're free, but you don't know it. Okay? Imagine that. You're in Texas. You're a slave in Texas. Maybe some rumors have come from other parts of the United States at that time that the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed, but the folks that's running things, they're not trying to enforce that at all. And so for two whole years, even though you're free, you're still enslaved. And so that's what we should remember, and that's what we should be careful about, that even though we're free, we don't enslave ourselves all over again. So Juneteenth, that's what we're celebrating, and that's why we're celebrating, and that's the short story. So if you send me an email saying, that was the whole story, Pastor, it was a short, trust me, you do not want to get me going on history. Trust me, you want that short story and accept that, or we could talk for a whole nother hour, because with history, one thing leads to another, and it never stops. And it just, you could get to study in one thing, and it'll branch off into 50 different branches. And then when you come back from that thing and you study the next 100 years, and there you go again. So it never ends. That's why it's a fascinating field for me. And I love, you know why I love history so much? Whether you like it or not, it tells the truth. Because it is the truth. You don't have to look at what somebody wrote. You can just read about what was going on at the time. We've had papers in this country for a long time. And so you can just read and find the truth real easy, because history is history. It does not lie. For instance, I could tell you I ain't go to church today. But then you can go and investigate that and talk to the whole church full of people that was there that saw me, and then you'll say, well, history says you were at church today. So that's why I love history. You can try to cover up the truth, and you can try to shade over the truth or just deny it, but you can't, because history is, and you can't change history. You know. So anyway, we got Juneteenth. It's a wonderful celebration. For us, it's especially us. We're like the Israelites, right? We have that similarity. We came out of slavery just like they did. Of course, it was black folks who held the Jews in slavery for 400 years, and that was chattel slavery, the same slavery we suffered, where they had no rights. Somebody told them everything. They woke up, went to bed according to somebody else's will. And then we come here to America from Africa and suffer the same thing that we inflicted on Israel back in the days of Moses. And it's amazing how they were in slavery for 430 years. And I think we, you know what I mean, pretty much a little shorter, but almost the same. What we did to them turned around and happened to us. So we got a chance to see how the Israelites felt when we had them in Egypt, you know, because North Africa, Egyptians, black folks, right? We held them in slavery for 430 years, and then here we are in America. But just like God brought them out, God brought us out. But what we have to be careful is that we don't do like those that came out and never really made it into the promised land, okay? They went right back into slavery. We don't want to do that. We want to stay free. And what that means is not being overcome by everything that's around us, you know, to the point that we start, like you say, if we don't, you know, take care of our children, then we're going to become victims of the care that we didn't provide when they was growing up. We're going to become victims later. And so, and one of the things that we dropped, I heard you and June kind of mention that, you mentioned it, is that we are not really like our parents were. They made sure we knew who Jesus was. But our generation, you know, we started saying we wanted our children to have a better life than we had, but that better life didn't include church, and it didn't include Sunday school, and didn't include none of that. It just included education. And then we found out education is not enough. Education is not enough. It has to be undergirded with the word of God. And then your education, your gift will make room for you. God needs some CEOs. You know, he needs that. He wants that. He wants people, all his people, in key positions in this society so he can do like Joseph did down there in Egypt. God wants to show out like he did with Joseph and make you the main person there and, you know, make the company almost can't exist without you, like Egypt couldn't exist without Joseph. So what we don't want to do is violate Juneteenth and go right back into slavery. Slavery was horrible. It made you could lose your kids. They could be sold off to another firm. It was just horrible. We cannot go back to that and do it to ourselves. You know, a lot of horrible things happen to us as a people, because others wanted a better life for themselves. Sometimes if we want a better life for ourselves, we'll break into somebody's house. We will rob somebody. We'll carjack somebody. We want a better life, and we want it so bad, we got to do what we got to do. I got to get mine. And that's going right back into slavery, and you're doing it to yourself. Your own neighborhood is like living on a plantation. And the masters are the criminals in the neighborhood. So we don't want to go back to that. That is slavery. But we just don't recognize it as we think it makes us a boss. But not really. It makes you a slave. A free person is free to compete. America was created to do, you know, what does the Declaration of Independence say? All men are created equal and endowed with certain rights that you can't take away from them because they got them from their creator, right? And so America was created to create this kind of environment where you could be free, where, you know, life, you could pursue life, liberty, be free, and seek prosperity. So the government then is there to create an atmosphere that is conducive to people celebrating their life without molestation, okay, being free, celebrating liberty, okay, to pursue prosperity, make a way for themselves in life. But our government has become way more than what it was intended to be. And so it in itself, it has become a slave. Slavery isn't, like the Lord tells me about racism, slavery is an insidious disease that only a right relationship with God can fix. And so America needs God. So anyway, before I go too far into history, Juneteenth, that's why we celebrate it. I was talking with my wife yesterday and saying They keep saying Juneteenth, Juneteenth celebrations, Juneteenth, mm-hmm. but nobody knows what it's about.
Right.
And if we admit it, we wasn't celebrating no Juneteenth 3 years ago. We just recently here in modern history started hearing about it. It's like like Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, where it got burnt out because folks didn't like what people were moving forward. You won't let us in, we'll create our own. And so they burned it up just to stop that progress. On the one hand, you're telling me because of my race and my color, I am not intelligent enough to do this. Well, we did this, and because we did this, your only option is to burn it down. But, you know, there's a lot of history to America, and Black folks have a lot of rich history, and we need to teach it to our children. We need to really teach it to them because they're coming up in a day where what we went through kind of don't exist. It exists in the margins, but it's not like it was when we were coming up. But it shouldn't be forgotten, because if you sweep it under the rug, America has a big, giant problem with reparations. I mean, God believes in restoration. I mean, you just read the Old Testament. Whatever you did, you had to restore according to God's word. Well, America chattel slavery Black folks for over 250 years, and you owe them nothing, and you cheat them with Reconstruction? And won't even give them civil rights, even though you freed them until 1964, almost 100 years later, and you feel like you owe them nothing. Until America pays for that sin, America will always be tore up, because God is a God of justice and righteousness. And until you do right by them, you remember when Whoopi Goldberg, whatever her name was in the movie Color Purple, when she put them two fingers up and told him, until you do right by me, ain't nothing going to work for you. Well, I think God put his two fingers up at America. Until America fixes its reparation problem or even acknowledges it got a problem, we'll pretty much be like we are and only get worse.
I like what you said about you liking slavery to robbing and stealing and all that in the community. That is something. I told you you got all the answers after all. Never thought of that. That is just really far reaching and deep right there. You know, it's just like the same thing. Because they need what they need, and they needed what they needed back then as far as for their lifestyle. And so, like you said, if they don't have what they need here, they're going to come in and get it one way or another.
The slave owner, imagine being a slave owner. You got 40 acres, and you have 30 slaves, and they're the ones, they're your tractor, they're your rakes, they're your shovels, you know what I mean? They're your equipment. And then somebody makes a law or a proclamation saying your slaves are free. How do you run your farm? If you look at the economy in the South, oh, Lord, it suffered big time after the loss, because just like Egypt mastered steam power around 2000 B.C., but they didn't use it. They had so much people power in the form of slaves, they just stuck with the slaves. The South had a ton of geniuses, and you've heard of all of these inventions that Black folks created. Most of them were slaves, okay? So they had a ton of geniuses around them to help them to modernize, like the cotton gin, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You had people who could create things, but you stifled the creation or either stole it, and they could have found a much better way than chattel slavery. Before chattel slavery, they had slavery in America, but it was called indentured servitude. And really, that's what the proclamation was aimed at. You know, make you pay these people. And that was a destabilization act. So, you know, they could have found another way, but they were just satisfied with people power. But then, how long will God allow a race to be enslaved? like chattel slavery, where you have no rights, you belong to somebody else as if you were their foot or finger or any other part of their body. You're theirs. You're their property.
So,
you know.
So, okay, now it's Juneteenth. So what are we going to do to inform our kids? Are we just going to let Juneteenth come every year? What are we and don't know what we're celebrating? We're just going to celebrate because it's just a holiday and we get the day off. So I think this is a good time to use Juneteenth to get on your block by block, and, you know, give the kids what they need, you know, to make it. Give them something. Like tomorrow, I'm going to get on my block, get all the kids together, and talk to them about Juneteenth. You know, so what are we going to make Juneteenth now going forward? What's going to be our vision on this? What can we do as a community, as a people, to make it better for one another? You know, sharing more love, more concern, more, you know, just sharing. And getting us where I know this lady, I said Opal, her name was Opal Lee. So I believe that she's like a founder, or she's 94 years old. So she had a lot of history to talk about, and about Juneteenth. That she was one of the ones that got this going, the Juneteenth going, and it being the national holiday. And so she said that none of us are free until we all are free.
Exactly.
And she says, we should celebrate June 19th, from now all the way to July 4th. That's what she said. So that's what her little slogan. None of us are free until we all are free. So that means us getting together, helping one another, loving each other. Just we got to get this movement going and make June 19th something, you know, make it better than what it was, because our ancestors set it up for us to
yes,
go
they
forward.
Did.
And we're just going to leave it here. We got to muster up every ounce of help and love in our bodies to do this.
Jesus was a little boy coming up in Nazareth, he would, you know, times travel to Jerusalem three times a year with his parents, and they would observe the, you know, those celebrations that God told him to observe. But it wouldn't be until he was 12 years old, and I'll never forget Jesus teaching this to me about when he had his chance to actually speak up and say something. At the end of the Sabbath, they would go home and have the Sabbath meal. And then they would go down to a synagogue or a temple, and they would all just sort of read scriptures and pray prayers. And then what would happen is one of the little boys, like Jesus, when he had a chance to actually talk, because he's now 12 years old, so he spoke up, and he would just ask one question about the Sabbath. Why is this night so different from every other night? And then some elder would speak up and go all the way back to when God told them to put the blood on the doorpost so the death angel could pass over. They would rehearse that story to them from one generation, and they still do it to this day. They still rehearse it, even though they cannot practice Judaism the way they did when they were during Jesus' day, because of course, they, you know, they don't even have the temple. But anyway, they still, in doing the Seder at the house, they still rehearse it to their children. We stopped telling our story. We did what the folks did over in the book of Judges. You go there and look at Judges chapter 2, verse 10, and it says they managed to raise a generation that did not know God. And one that did not, now imagine this, they're in Judges, that means they're in the promised land, they've experienced God's word coming true for them, but somehow they got so wrapped up in the world around them that they stopped telling their children the story. And just so you get the full intent of it, real quick, I want to read that to you, and you'll see how important it is for us to continue telling our kids the story and what a failure to remind them of how we came to be where we are, okay? Where that could end them up. And you'll see a direct correlation between now and all the way back here because they didn't keep telling the story. In verse 10, it says, after that generation died, that's the generation, that second generation that came into the promised land. We know the first generation died in the wilderness. Their kids, okay, once they grew up, God gave them time to grow up. Now they came into the promised land. So after that generation that came into the promised land died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Is that not us? When we were in the South, you couldn't drag us away from a church. We would steal away to Jesus. All these songs we got were really songs of code, Negro spirituals that meant steal away to Jesus, steal away to Jesus. They weren't talking about going to heaven when they died. They were talking about tonight over here where we meet at, there's going to be a meeting. We're going to steal away to Jesus to have a little church service because they weren't allowed to. So they would rehearse those stories to their children over and over and over. But somehow, as black folks, we stopped doing that. We stopped telling them. And now I was teaching a class one time, and I was just asking names that should have been easily known. They didn't know one of them. Not one of them. I suddenly realized I was in a class of young black men and women who had not been told our history. And, you know, it says that if you don't, you know, remember your history, you're bound to repeat it. So don't forget it. And so, like this generation, now the rest of the story is the book of Judges itself. Since these people abandoned God, they no longer had the power they had to defeat their enemies to get the promised land. Now it's gone. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. And when that happened, they could no longer stand against their enemies. And here's where they ended up, right where we are today. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he wanted. And the people were in great, great distress. And we have managed to raise a generation that don't know God. They don't even know anything about slavery. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you know, they'll say, well, they stopped teaching it in the schools. I didn't learn about it in the school. My father told me about it. My mother told me about it. Uncles and aunties told me about it. So when did we stop telling the story? When did we stop saying how we got over? When did that song become too old to sing, How I Got Over My Lord? We sing these songs. We hear these songs. Those songs were about how God brought us over. When people wouldn't let us out, he brought us out. Just like Pharaoh wouldn't let Israel go, God brought him out with a strong hand. And look at us today. Look at us today. We shoot more. Boy, if white folks shot as many of us in a year as we do, we'd never stop marching. But white folks can kill one of us, and we'll march all across this country. But we will sit. One day I was watching television, and over a holiday weekend in Chicago, 61 people got killed. 61 black people shot black people in a weekend. Holiday weekend. How do you go from we shall overcome to where we are today? Somebody stopped telling their kids how we got over. Jesus ain't important no more. Church ain't important no more. Sunday school ain't important no more. Bible class ain't important no more. You just get some good grades so you can go to college so you can get you a good job, make you some good money, have you a nice house, live in a nice neighborhood. Your life be better than mine. Will it? Is it?
Mm.
We send our kids to college to the tune of over $100,000 in debt. Is their life better than ours, or are they in our basement because they can't find a job and pay that money back? Or are you stuck paying that college money back? So we, like you say, how do we get back? You know, Kat, it's real simple. Do what we did before. Open your mouth. Talk to your kids.
Right. Talk to them.
Any chance you get, talk to them. You know, my father used to tell them stories. Boy, we hated to hear them stories because once he started, it's like me. Mouth just keep going. But he told it to
us. Right.
If you asked him for a nickel, he would tell you the history of when he started working, and he would conclude with, "Now, you know I work at Ford Motor Company. I work out there all week to get this nickel. You going to take it down the street and spend it in 2 minutes. Took me all week again, so you get a whole... you know.
Was a nickel like $20?
Oh, Kat. you got a nickel. You own all your friends. And Lord help if you got a quarter. Check this out. My father was so bad at cutting hair. He would pay you when you got through. You wouldn't get a nickel. You would get a whole quarter. And
what?
You could go up to a whole quarter. He felt real guilty. I mean, you know, all them little cuts and nicks felt a whole lot better, though, when he gave you that quarter, because you could get ice cream, then go to the Five and Dime, buy some store. Okay, that was like 2 years ago. Yeah, that was two years ago. My wife said, you dating yourself.
It was worth it, you know, because then the kids start teasing you about your head, so you didn't care. You had some ice cream, huh?
Right. I got some ice cream. That's okay. It'll grow back. He was horrible at it. He didn't even use a bowl. We wish he had used a bowl, and his clippers were sharper than sharp.
So what was he doing? He was just I'm the man around here, and I'm going to cut my own boys' hair.
Because, see, it was six boys and three girls, you know, and my brother Kenny and Janetta, so, and sister Janetta. So he was like, hey, I'm cutting corners. I'm not paying for all y'all to get y'all. Now, he could have sent us around the corner to get our haircut at a man named Yellowhammer. That was his name. He cut hair on the back porch of his house. His name Yellowhammer. Yellowhammer chewed tobacco. And you would be scared to sit there under him because it might dribble out on you. So, but that haircut cost a lot. It was a whole 50 cent.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of y'all.
It was a whole
50 cent.
So
that was a good memory.
Yeah, that's so. Oh, Lord have mercy.
I'm sure he got better.
Oh, he was, no, that's why we ended up at Yellowhammer. He got worse. he knew, I need to quit. These boys getting too old for this. So he sent us over to Yellowhammer, and Yellowhammer, he was good. Yeah, Yellowhammer also would take young guys who wasn't going to do so hot in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he would teach them how to cut hair, and some of those guys to this day are barbers.
See, that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to teach them all. I mean, we have had so many things that we were good at and blessed with. Now we have the whole hair industry, the nails, all of that. And so now we don't have that. Our kids are not doing that. Now everybody else got what we had, doing the hair, doing the nails. No one is showing the next generation.
Every store, every pool room in the city of Ecorse and River Rouge were owned by black people.
Mm-hmm.
All these stores that's now owned by Chaldeans, we call them Arabs, but we cloak them all under one thing. But most of the people you see in these stores are Chaldean. You can tell a Muslim store when you go in. If you go in there around 12, it's either going to be closed or they may even be in the back facing east doing their prayers. That's how you can tell. But a Chaldean, if it's 12 o'clock and that Chaldean is at that counter, that's a Chaldean, and Chaldeans are descended from Abraham. So a lot of them are Christians. And so that's how you tell the difference. I used to go up here when I smoked this little cigarette store that was up here because, you know, you could hide as a preacher, you could hide so nobody see you buying cigarettes. And I would go up there at 12 when nobody was around, and sure enough, he was in the back doing his prayers, and Jesus says, don't you steal one thing. Don't you even think about it. I'm like, you back there playing. I can empty this baby out. The Lord like, rip your head off.
Right.
Yeah, but that's why
these kids need God and why they need the Holy Spirit, so that they'll know what's right and what's wrong, so that they won't
somebody
do some things knowing that. Yeah.
When your parents not around, that word come out. Don't not steal, Reverend.
It sure will. It will come out, man. Keep you straight.
He delivered me. He took my cigarette habit in 2009. I didn't quit smoking. I just woke up and he told me I ain't smoke no more. And I haven't smoked since. It's crazy.
Cool.
It's all the years I tried to quit and couldn't. And then one morning I woke up and he told me, I asked him, why am I not running off to the gas station to get a pack of cigarettes, because I didn't have none. And he told me I didn't smoke anymore. And that was August of 2009. And I haven't smoked since then. Not one. And it's crazy because I quit in 75.
Wow. That's a testimony. Well, Pastor, tell us one thing that your dad gave you that you are using now and you could use for a lifetime that he passed on. Then we're going to let the callers get back in and shout out their dad. So give us something that, you know, that we should be doing that, you know, passing down to the next generation so they could grow. Well, thank you. Your dad gave you something to use for a lifetime. What was it?
Teach them how to work. Teach them how to work. Teach them how to have a good work ethic. My father would, if you did something out of the ordinary, he would pay you. But if you didn't do it right, he would say, if you're going to do it right. If you want me to pay you, you got to do it right. And then he would show you how you wanted it done. And as long as you did it right, he would pay you. So what he instilled in us was a good work ethic. And I use that in every single thing that I do. Whatever I do, I hear him saying, if you're going to do something, do it right. And then if you didn't do it right, then he'd make you do it all over again. So he gave us a good work ethic to work and to do it right. He was really something about doing it right. But I use that in everything. Every single thing that I do, I'm not doing it if I'm not going to do it right.
Right.
I'm not going to do it. If I'm not going to do it right, I'm not going to do it. And he just did that. And so, because, you know, I was the worst of us all the kids. I was like the super black sheep. So, you know, but that work ethic, that's what did it for me. And, you know, he taught us everything. It's rare that I need to call somebody to fix something. That's because we used to fuss and say, why do you make us do everything? Why don't you hire people like these other parents? Because as long as I got you boys eating up all my food, you're going to do it. You know. And so it turns out all of us are the same. Me, Richard, John, Jason, Christopher is in heaven. But we all developed a strong work ethic, as well as my sisters, Persia, Cheryl, Janetta, Kenny, Joe, all of us. He did it to all of us. He gave us that same thing because he was like that. Whatever he did, he put us all into it. And so he taught us auto mechanics, carpentry, how to lay tile, how to hang a ceiling, install water heaters, put holes in the wall for the chimney, and, you know, everything, how to fix a wash machine, everything.
That's what we need to do. I know my uncle, he was the fix-it man. He could fix everything. And he would have people
young kids and older people follow him all over all of his jobs. They put on their coveralls, and they would go everywhere he went, and they learned how to do electrical. They knew how to fix refrigerator stoves, I mean, plumbing, everything. And he really did help a lot of people to get started. And he really did. Yeah, he was. They called him. I called him Uncle Money, but he was Uncle Monroe. But I called him Uncle Money because he was always out there making money. He didn't charge you much, and he would do it right. He would do it right. Everybody knew Uncle Money, and so I know a lot of people that you know, my friends and people out just wherever you go. Yeah, I know your uncle. You know, and yeah. That's how you're supposed to teach the next generation. So hopefully we could start doing that. It's time. It's really time. We could make Juneteenth a part of that teaching and teaching, learning, and doing like you do. We need to teach them. Yeah. So we're gonna make Juneteenth something good, and not just it come every year and then we don't really know what we're celebrating, just getting a day off. So. All right. You guys want to shout out your dad? Say something good, positive, you know. Press one, and I'll let you in. Go ahead, Pastor. They get the pressing one.
I just said it right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Pick up a skill, you know. I sort of had a bunch of different areas I could have gone into because what he taught us. And I finally landed in auto mechanics, and because he had us doing so much yard work, I ended up in agronomy, and I did that for 25 years. And that was fun, to say the least.
Work ethics are important. They are.
If you don't teach them to work,
I'm just thinking about, you know, if my mom hadn't taught us how to paint, my dad hadn't just made us strong and, you know, show us how to work on the car and just take care of ourselves. I just don't know what kind of life I would have, you know, not knowing how to do anything, you know. Man.
These kids
have to feel some kind of way when they're out there and they don't have any place to turn, you know. Okay, what can I do? I can't read, I can't write, I can't go get a job, you know, can't do this, and I won't stay at the job, part-time. All I want is part-time. I ain't never heard so many kids, young folk talking about they work part-time. I'm just going to work part-time right now. What is that?
Right.
That's not a word.
You work part-time when you're going to college. you need a part-time job. If you're not in school, you need a full-time job. Learn what you can do, because God has given every single human being a natural gifting. That means a way to make money. That's all it means. It's a way for you to make money. It's different from a spiritual gift. But a natural gifting is an auto mechanic, a doctor, or something. There is something you can do to get paid legally. And I mean, even if you have a lot of people, I ain't talking about being a drug dealer. It's a lot of people who have business, but they're in business illegally, and that's why God can't help them. Because their business don't have a DBA, it doesn't have insurances.
Yeah.
It's not a legal business, but they want God to be involved in illegality, and he will not do it.
And they probably don't even know how to do it. No one even showed them how. It's so much and so many things that we just don't know. And, you know, hopefully we can start to teaching these young folk, you know, get them. Uh-oh. Hello? We still there?
Yeah.
Okay, get them, you know, just the things that we think that they should know, you know. Just start them out. I just want to do so much for the kids. I want them to be able to have their own little businesses. You go other places, they're doing lemonade stands and different things. So, I mean, that's what we should do for our kids on our block. Whatever it is, to show them how to do business, get them a business book, show them how to read it, something. We have to start giving back. We do.
If they can
say a word? Uh-huh. Go ahead.
If they can work that telephone, they could get into some tech, get into a computer school. My pastor's son got into it, and now he makes a six-figure salary and live in a gated community.
Wow.
And this was just, he just picked up computers, and there you go. And now
yeah,
he makes
it
a six
can be
figure.
Done.
Yes, it can.
It can be done.
You can do it.
At this this affair I was at, it was an intelligent young man got up there and spoke. He wrote a book, The Mask of Masculinity, and he says good for women too. And he said we're not thugs. He said we are doctors. Black men are not thugs. We are doctors. We're lawyers. We're teachers. We're writers. We're CEOs. You know, he just went on and on. I was like, that's right. So
yeah.
He was really outstanding. And I'm going to have him on one day. Really, he told his story. Was ill at one time. And he said his father wasn't, you know, in his life. But his mom was there for him praying every time, on every minute, and he said people he thought was praying for him, they was praying on him, you know. So yeah, he was a dynamic young man, clean cut, had on a blue velvet suit, my favorite color. I'm like, boy, he clean. Yes, he had a good word there. Yep. So I'm gonna try to get a hold of him. Yep. So like I said, it was some good networking out here, and got some good ideals. Yep. So I guess Ms. Pierce don't want to talk to us today. And anybody else? Going. You got 5 seconds to get on and say something special about your dad or anything that you want to ask or say or encouragement or love or something. Okay. All right.
Okay, good
afternoon. Well, hey.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello. That was a good message from your pastor about Black history.
Yeah.
And
one of my
sons called while he was on, so I had to switch over because I wanted to tell him Happy Father's Day. I would like to wish all the fathers a Happy Father's Day, and we do have some good fathers. Of course, my father has already made his transition, but he stayed here a long time. He was a good father. But we still have the ones that's here that we should give encouragement to and thank them for being the fathers they are. A lot of young fathers out here that's doing really well. My husband, he's a good father, took real good care of his children, and his grandchildren love him. So I want to shout out to Arthur Pierce for Happy Father's Day. I want to shout out to my sons, Lauren, Darius, and Demetrius, and their birthdays today also, as well as my Uncle Joe. He turns 93 today. So I want to shout out to him. Happy Father's Day to him.
All right. Uncle Joe.
There's your Uncle Joe. Yeah, he turned 93 today.
Yeah.
So, there's so many, we have so many good fathers in the community. We just don't hear about them all. And because this is now turned into a woman's world, you know, we're going to hear less about men and their roles. But we know that the men are very important in our community and in our lives. And women are important also, but I can't forget about the men. One thing I would like to say that Pastor Hall was talking about when he was saying about the history and about the history of Juneteenth is one thing that people may not know is that how we still have to, as Black people in this country, how we still have to get permission to vote. After, I think, every 25 or 50 years, they have to sign again the right for us to get to vote, which is just crazy and insane, because when people come to this country as immigrants, they don't have to get their renewal to vote. They get a chance to, once they get citizenship, they vote, and they don't have to get renewal for Black people to vote. That is just asinine, and they should get rid of it. We've been in this country all of our lives. My father and many other fathers fought in the wars, in World War II, World War I. We fought in the Confederate War. We fought the Vietnam War, the Korean War. It's like, so how in the heck do they still think that we're supposed to have someone renew our right to vote every 25 or 50 years? I can't remember what it is. I should have researched it. Well, that's just crazy. Well, yet people who come over here to this country who act like they love this country, but they really don't. They just come over for the economics. But when they get their money right, they go right back to the home that they come from. They don't have any loyalty to this country, and they don't have to get no renewal to vote once they get their citizenship. So I wish that they would get rid of that, because that makes that's just crazy that they have to even talk about our renewal to vote in this country. So. Once again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, and continue to do a good job.
All right, great. You always blow them up, Nick. That's good. Thank you for that. It was powerful.
Okay.
I'm going to let you be the co-host,
Thank
too.
You.
Okay.
You know what?
Bye.
I want to say a word on what she said about Woman's World.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was wondering, because I say it to my wife all the time. I remember when I watched the news, well, I didn't want to watch it, my father was, but it would be men on there all over the news. It was just all men everywhere, Morley Safer and all them guys, all over the Dan Ryder, all over the place. Now it's women. Mm-hmm. And then I never did watch sports other than drag racing, so, but when sports would come on, I would watch it because it's a little short segment. Drag racing real quick so I can watch a little quick segment on it, and it was all men. But now a lot of the women who talk sports are women. And it's not like women have usurped authority from men. It's just that men have sort of taken a back seat. I'll never forget doing a radio show, Where the Men At? And it was a funny thing. Women kept pressing one and asking me questions or saying things, and I was like, wow, this is a woman. So anyway, I knew one of the women, and I knew her husband. So I asked the husband, why didn't he say anything? He said, I heard everything you said. I told my wife what to tell you. So men have sort of taken, like Adam, they've gotten become the passive responders in almost everything. And they don't like women being in positions of authority over them, but they've surrendered it to the women. It's really rampant in the church. I mean, it's unbelievable how rampant. I mean, God is just taking women. If the men won't come out, he is not going to let his program miss a beat. He will grab one of these women and put her in a position. And you know, it's almost funny. Right now, God is going hard after Gentiles or non-Jews. You can find that out in Romans chapter 11. But he said something in Romans chapter 11 that stuck with me, that he was using the Gentiles coming into Christianity and into relationship with God more so than those Jews who were still stuck in Judaism and wouldn't come out. He was using the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, to make the Jews jealous, because like Jesus told that woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. And here it's more of us saved today than them, more Gentiles, more non-Jewish people. So could God be doing the same thing with women today, because they are flourishing everywhere? I don't care where you go, they're doing it. And I don't care if they're single, got 15 kids at home, they're doing it. And men are just trying to lay up on a woman. They're trying to find a woman who's doing it and lay up on her and then call herself a player or a pimp. You ain't nothing but a scared punk. That's all that is. God will bless a man. Remember Deborah in the Old Testament? Men really don't like that. I don't know how to deal with that. But Deborah was the judge over Israel in the book of Judges. And God came to Deborah and told her to go to Barak, the man, and tell him that God wants to give the glory to a man because he made the man first, right? There was no woman, there's just a man, then he made Eve. Barack said, I'll go if you go. So she, but she said, if you do it that way, then God going to give the glory to a woman and not you. He didn't care. He willingly took a back seat and let Deborah and Jael be the heroes of that story. They tore up Sisera's 900 chariots, and he jumped off his and ran, and then Jael put a tent peg through his head, and that was the end of him. So God gave the glory to a woman, but he wanted to give it to a man. So is God making men jealous today by excelling women into places that they couldn't get in before, and they're about to get paid the same amount as a man for doing the same job, which is kind of stupid that you would not pay somebody the same, but those things are changing. So when she said woman's world, my antennas went up because God said the same thing. And why? It's not like God don't want to use men, but men have taken a back seat willingly.
I want us to talk about that again because it's time to get off. But I want us to talk about that again maybe next week or so because there's some questions I want to ask behind that. Let's let Mother Irma get in and say a few words. Hey, Mother Irma.
Hey, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm blessed. So good to hear you all and Pastor. It's been a long time, but happy Father's Day to you.
It's so good to hear your voice.
Amen. It's good to be heard as well. Thank the Lord. I haven't been in church service since January, the first Sunday, and it's been a blessing to have made it this far and looking forward to joining with the congregation soon. So continuously pray for me. And again, to all of the young fathers and those that are older, I just want to say happy Father's Day to all of them. And be blessed. A lot of them are probably out with the families, whether it be to dinner in a restaurant or out in their yard. But just know that the Lord is your strength and continuously be the father that the Lord would have you to be. Amen. I know 1 year my daughter even gave me a Father's Day card. So there are a lot of us women that are holding that position, and we should be proud of that as well, that we can be strong and able to take care of our children and train them. And to all you mothers out there, it's wonderful to be able to speak to you as well, because, again, it's been a long time. And I appreciate all of the prayers and all of the beautiful cards that I have received. And just want to let you know that I'm here and thank the Lord that I am still here.
Hallelujah.
And and I thank Kathy for how she's shown her love and either take me on a ride or bring me a wonderful meal. And she's just a real true lover of people. And also helpful, and I really, 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 really appreciate that. So God bless you
all.
You
had a good daddy.
Hopefully.
Had a good daddy. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
I'm just saying daddy today because it's Father's Day, but we know who was running out.
Amen.
Of them, but they were a team. I love it.
Amen. I had a wonderful daddy.
My team said so. Go ahead. Yes. Go ahead.
I had a wonderful daddy as well, and I am a preacher's kid, and he certainly did his training, and I think Gerald can even pat him on the back for the service they gave.
He gave to them
and his brothers.
He mentored me early on when I was under Barlow, under Brown, and until he left here, I could call him anytime I wanted to, and we could have that conversation, because he was experienced. He gave me preaching opportunities at his church. I'll never forget one Sunday he called me to preach out there. And I had on my favorite powder blue suit that didn't fit no kind of way. Went to the gas station. And you know how the gas used to shoot back up out of there? But I was too late. I had to go preach, and that was the first. I had Blair and Brian with me, and that was the first time I ever had to preach smelling like gas.
Mm-hmm.
So I said Union Second, Union in Romulus, on Gold Street, or what was that street?
Second Baptist in Romulus.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to love to go out there to that bakery, me and Sheila.
I think did he marry you?
Yes, he did, to my first wife. Yes, he did, right there in his living room. Mm-hmm. And we had the nerve to be late.
Amen. God bless you. All right, then. I thank you, and wonderful program, and I appreciate it being here that we can share. Amen. God bless you.
Yes,
and I remember
ma'am.
Those days,
thank
even
you.
The days even when I had a group of young ladies. They were starting at 8 years old, and I was teaching them even how to sew.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a class of young ladies as well as senior citizens. So they showed a love and an interest in sewing, and I thank the Lord that I knew how, and I did take up the opportunity to do so, and that was over in the Beechwood Center many years ago now, but I'm thankful that I knew how. And after even all that years of sewing, and then I started doing cakes. So I just thank the Lord that I had that gift of baking and cake decorating. So we do have to reach out and share these things that we are gifted with to many others. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Have a wonderful day. And I'm certainly hoping to see you soon.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. We're waiting to see you.
Yes,
thank you, Armaline.
Yes. All right. Love you.
Love you back. Stay well.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Is that it, Pastor Awesome O? Is that it? Yes.
I am good.
Good deal. Okay. All minds clear. Everybody that had their say, got 3 seconds to shout it out. Bless one. Okay. All right. We just want to send love and shout out to all the graduates, 2020 graduates. And just, you know, happy Father's Day to all the fathers all around the world, and happy Juneteenth Day. And this is my first year, a whole year. It's been a whole year since I've been on Blog Talk Radio, Bring Back the Family. And I do see progress, and I think that things are going to really pick up, and we're going to have some great things to offer. I just can't wait. I'm excited about Bring Back the Family, and just thank everybody for supporting this whole year. It's just been good. So all I can do is all I can say is it's going to get even better. Okay, so thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Pastor O, for sticking with me. Thank you, Neatly, you know, for all your good comments, and everybody else that make comments. Just thank you for tuning in and just being a support. We have to start supporting one another with whatever it is that we're doing out here for the youth and for our community. We have to support one another. We're going to do a new thing. And, okay, that's it. That's it. Everybody clear?
Clear.
Okay. Neatly, you clear? We're going to make her our host, Pastor.
Right.
Okay. All right. Love you guys. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me
I can hardly think as you call.